Put down that cheeseburger. Hide those fries. Ditch the Twinkies. It's time for Hooked on Raw with author, investigative reporter, activist, and raw food enthusiast, Rio.
Hi, this is Rio, and you're listening to Hooked on Raw on NewYorkTalkRadio.net. This show is about healthy living, primarily through the raw and living food diet and lifestyle, and other natural approaches to good health. If you're not familiar with the raw food diet, it means eating foods as nature creates them for us, organic, whole, and unheated. This is the diet that every other species on the planet adheres to, except humans and their domesticated animals. We are children of biology, not technology, and it is through understanding our biology that we can fulfill our greatest health potential. So join us as we explore how we can get and stay healthy by getting back to our roots in nature. My co-host is Lee Criso.
I am here on this humid day in New York City.
Oh my gosh, hot and humid. As I was just saying a few minutes ago, my bedroom is a sauna. I don't even have to go to the sauna.
You can go swimming in it.
Just go up to the bedroom. Unless, of course, we put two fans and two air conditioners on.
Right. Feed Con Edison.
Do you have any tidbits for us today?
Well, I have just been watching the news all week. You know, all this talk about the health, you know, the healthcare system and the changes. And it seems that, I don't know, I get the feeling that some of the powers that be are trying to get a lot of people all riled up against it, certain things, and they don't want, seem to want any change. And when I watch Larry King, who are the experts? The AMA and all sorts of doctors. So I don't know what's really going to happen. But what surprises me with all these supposed riots at town meetings, how come that never happened with the Iraq War?
I believe why it didn't happen with the Iraq War is because we weren't, under Bush, we weren't able to see how many coffins came back. You know, we weren't really able to, the reporters were embedded with the army. That's not the way you get the news. You have to have independent reporters. You can't have the importers just giving one line,
They're embedded with the AMA.
Well, getting back to the health care, I was just looking up some statistics, because I figured you were going to be talking about healthcare since everybody's talking about it right now. And some of the CEOs of these insurance companies, they get obscene golden parachutes when they leave. Their salaries are in the millions anyway, yearly. And Bill McGuire, CEO of United Health, well, he's former CEO of United Health. United Healthcare Group is one of the biggest insurance companies in the United States. What do you think his golden parachute was?
Tell me.
Well, what to take a guess?
I don't know, 20 million?
Take another guess.
40 million?
Guess again.
60 million?
That's why I say it's obscene. $1.6 billion.
Well, that just came from turning down necessary operations for people.
Exactly. So I don't understand why people are so riled up about having some kind of public, well, what they're calling it now is a public option, because we're not going to go to single payer, which we really should have single payer like every other country in the world that is taking care of its citizens with health care, Canada and some of the other countries. If we had single payer, then everybody would be paying and we have a system. Now, of course, I have to tell our listeners, you know, this isn't going to benefit us, because under this health care system, we're not going to be able to get the kind of doctors that we would be more likely to go to. For example, chiropractors, that's not going to be covered. Naturopaths aren't covered. Homeopaths aren't covered. We're not going to get the kind of health care that we need. So we're going to have to pay for the system, but we're not going to get the health care we need.
I really think we should have freedom of choice. I don't think we should be locked into a system that isn't going to give you freedom of choice. But I really
don't
think...
What do you mean by freedom of choice? You mean to choose the doctor of your choice?
Well, not only that. I mean, I think doctors and hospitals have a right to, you know, people have a right to choose. If you want to go to an expensive doctor, go to an expensive doctor. Or you don't have to be locked into to, you know, to totally into one system.
These other systems, like the Canadian system, the people that have the money and can afford, they go beyond offered.
I don't think Obama's system or any system out there is really going to let you do it. But the only thing
Obama doesn't have a system. He's letting Congress come up with the system.
Right.
And some of the senators are saying, let's have a public option. That would mean that the people that aren't covered could opt for some kind of public care, like the Medicare system.
But with all the money that we give to other countries and to aid all over the world, I just think whatever the system is, I think if somebody is sick and they have a problem, I just think we should, you know, they should be taken care of.
Yes,
you know?
But this is not happening now under our insurance system that can give somebody, one person, $1.6 billion as a golden parachute.
Well, you know something? We could talk the whole show on this, and we have Colleen and Charlie waiting, so...
Well, wait a minute. Let me just wrap up now. Now
okay.
My thought is gone completely out of my... Thank you very much, Lee Criso.
Get your thought.
Well, what I'm saying is this public option that's on the table with some senators and representatives, it's sort of like a foot in the door to get us more towards a public health system to cover the people that aren't covered. We're not covered. We're not covered, and millions of people aren't covered.
That's true. But see, I have a philosophy. If I get, we don't have health insurance, but if the people say, well, what if you get hurt? Then they would take me to the hospital, sew me up real fast, and get me out of there as fast as they could. And I think that would be the best option, personally.
I think one of the problems with the topics that are being brought up at these public forums right now, these town hall meetings, is that people are saying, and I don't know if this is something that people really think, or if it's just a certain group of people, or if there's a certain group of people that's pushing these ideas, but they're saying like, oh, we can't go socialist. But you see, we've already passed that mark, because
we bailed out every corporation under the sun that
we can. We have socialism, but not for the common people. We have socialism for the rich people, for the bankers, and for the car companies, and for everybody but the common person.
Right.
So people are losing their homes, they're not getting bailed out, and then these same people that aren't getting bailed out and are losing their homes, they're saying, well, we don't want socialism. Oh, like it's some terrible thing.
On that note, I'm going to bring Colleen and Charlie. They're probably going to scream at you.
No, and they're not.
Yes.
Anyway, today we're continuing with part two on the subject of Willard Water, an amazing catalyst-altered water. And as we talked last week, the ingredients in this water, and I'm going to ask Charlie and Colleen in just a few minutes, are really very simple. Something that's called CAW, C-A-W, that's catalyst-altered water, micelle. And then that consists of sodium metasilicate, sulfated castor oil, calcium chloride, and magnesium sulfate. It's just those few ingredients. All of them can't do any harm, and I believe last week that Charlie had said that 99% of the Willard water is water. So with that, welcome to our show again, Charlie and Colleen Sunday.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
It's a pleasure.
And I have to say I'm not at all upset with your comments. I found it very interesting.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, we usually banter about there a little bit. Lee and I don't always agree on everything, but that's what makes the relationship interesting, I guess.
That's right. We definitely don't always agree.
No, we definitely don't. We sometimes we're really far apart on things.
Do we ever agree?
I think we do agree sometimes. But
well,
anyway,
Charlie's always said if he and I always thought the same, then one of us would be redundant.
That's true.
That's a good thing to keep in mind.
Plus, it wouldn't be that interesting, would it?
That's right.
It would be boring. They keep us on our toes, you know.
Right. Or we keep them on their toes.
Exactly. Vice versa. So
right.
I wanted to ask you about this CAW micelle. What exactly is a micelle? I mean, what is that, Charlie?
Well, I
remember if I can throw this out. I asked Doc one time, how do we explain the micelle to people? And he said the best way for people to think of that have no chemistry background is think of the tiniest, tiniest, battery you can imagine. In fact, tinier than you can imagine. And think of that as the micelle. It's like the spark or the, you know, the center, the thing that makes Willard Water what it is, which, you know, in his later years, he said it's an electrical, there's an electrical charge, but he said it's almost like it's a bioelectrical magnetic. Because if you reduce everything down to its smallest form, you have electrical and magnetic really being the same. And I'm, and at that point, he's way beyond me, but...
And we're electrical, and we're electrical beings, actually. We're electrical, aren't we?
Right.
Because when we're in trouble, the doctors try to start our hearts again with electricity. So
sure. Yeah.
We're kind of electrical. So maybe this myself sort of feeds the electrical impulses in our own body somehow.
We're going to get ready to take a break, but I thought myself... was with, and the warden said, lights out, you go back to your cell.
Well, that could be true, too.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. You've been listening to Hooked on Raw on NewYorkTalkRadio.net. Stay with us. Welcome back. You're listening to Hooked on Raw on NewYorkTalkRadio.net. My name is Rio, and my co-host is Lee Criseau. And today it's our pleasure to continue our interview with Charlie and Colleen Sunday. They are the people that put out the original and the true Willard Water. To find out more about this Willard Water, go to their website, which is www.nutritioncoalition.com. That's nutritioncoalition.com. Or you could go to willardswater.com. Charlie, I'm still a little unclear about this micelle. Can you maybe expand on it a little further? try to clear it up for us.
These four very ordinary substances that that you listed earlier there, when they are combined in a particularly way, that it's a very complicated process. But anyway, you wind up with, something that's like what all these trillions or whatever of little, call them little sparks of energy, pieces of energy, whatever. And they change, as he tried to explain it many ways to us, but one way was he said that changes fairly drastically the way the molecules of water hook together. In the form that the regular water, I'm sure that if you looked at it under a very powerful microscope, you would see a particular structure. With the Willard water, it's a different structure, and it lets it be a much more effective form of water. Colleen, I think that you have
it. Does it reduce the particles of water? Does it make them smaller in some way?
That's one of the things that it does.
Uh-huh.
And actually, what Doc would always say is, once you create that change in water, anything's structure, molecular structure, you change its characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, he said, you know, it's like taking carbon. It can be diamonds or it can be graphite.
Mm-hmm.
And one is extremely hard and one is extremely soft. It's what they use in pencil lens.
Right.
And one is valuable and one is, you know, not worth much. But they're both carbon. They're only, all their differences result from that change in the molecular structure. And he always said, when you make this change in the water that you add this catalyst concentrate to, you end up with water that is as different from ordinary water as diamonds are from graphite.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both water.
Okay.
And you end up with water that, one of the things that it does is it does break down nutrients, for instance, much smaller so that they can be assimilated better into the cells. And it also breaks down toxins and wastes, including heavy metals, so people eliminate them much better than they normally do with just the regular water in our bodies.
Right.
It also becomes highly alkaline.
Most of us know how important water is, so a water
can
even be better for us and help us along better, especially in this toxic world that we live in, would be a benefit. And as we were saying in the break, I have a friend who has a machine, makes the Kangen water. She was going to give me some, but she told me that it doesn't hold its charge. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think this Willard water does hold its charge.
Correct. The Willard's water will hold its charge for we don't even know how long. Doc told me one time he tested some that had been mixed up, you know, the ounce to a gallon ratio, and then that diluted, or the product as it's used, not the concentrate.
Right.
But that gallon jug had been left out in a shed on a ranch for somewhere between 10 and 11 years.
Uh-huh.
Now, that shed wasn't air-conditioned, and it wasn't heated. And we have extremes of temperature in this part of the country. And he said that it was given to him, and he tested it, and he said it was the same as the day it was made. But he told me one time that most, you know, he said it's very easy to put a charge on water. It's very easy to change structure. It's easy to do those things. He said the really, you know, the thing that he himself, he said he never fully understood how this thing once created was so stable. And you can, in fact, bake with it. You can cook with it. You can heat it or freeze it. You can make ice cubes with it, and you do not change it.
That's so stable.
That king and water, I've heard a lot of people talking about that, and I've heard some very good things about it. My understanding is, and I haven't had any myself, my understanding is that they say it will keep for 1 week. So, you know, you have to keep making it.
Well,
you know,
my friend told me that you have to keep it in a dark bottle, and then it will. She told me only 3 days, so I don't know. Which is right. Well, I haven't read the literature on it.
What research was done on heavy metals? We on the East Coast here, where we live, we were just 8 blocks from 9/11, so we were exposed to heavy metals, and we've done a lot of detoxing. But how does the Willard water affect heavy metals in your system?
Because it breaks down the toxins.
Yeah, I mean, is it pretty effective?
Let's ask Charlie and Colleen.
What we've seen is...
that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Well, first off, nobody's ever done, 50 million dollars worth of testing to say, here's a population with all have heavy metal poisoning, and we half of them get Willard water and half of them get regular water, and then measure how much has left. It's strictly anecdotal, but it, we've been...
I'm thinking of that article that was in the Alternative Medicine Digest a number of years back from a natural health expert doctor who had treated a number of patients with that.
And when with the Willard water?
The Willard's water really helped. Yeah, it really helped to eliminate the heavy metals.
And
he talked about any toxins, but he said even heavy metals, which are, you know, many times more difficult.
So there was some kind of a small test done on
he
it?
He didn't do it as a study. He just did it apparently reporting on what he had seen in his own patients.
In his own patients. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And was that written up anywhere?
Yeah, it was in an issue of Alternative Medicine Digest, and it's a number of years back now. I don't even remember how many years ago.
I see.
I'm sure somewhere here we still have a copy of that article, and I could get you the reference, but I don't have it.
Thank you. Yeah, because I'm thinking of maybe for the next printing of my book, I'm going to add in the pH angle because I hadn't mentioned that because I hadn't found that in any of the literature. But I think that's a very important thing because that right there explains why it has an effect on so many different conditions. Just the fact that it has a high alkaline pH. And it's going to bring people back to their normal state of alkalinity if they use it on a regular basis. And apparently for people that don't want to go on a raw food diet, I mean, this is a wonderful antidote then, isn't it?
It would seem to be.
Because,
yeah.
A raw food diet on its own is going to keep your body alkaline. But for people that don't make that choice and they want to continue whatever, this is a very good option.
Even on a raw food diet, you're exposed to toxins in the air and all sorts of...
Yes, but a raw food diet with a high prevalence of fruits and vegetables will keep your blood slightly alkaline, which is its normal state of being.
Mm-hmm. And it is true anytime you go back to, you know, over the years, I can't even list the number of different things that people have said that Willard's water helped them with. And if you just made that whole long list, it would certainly sound like snake oil. But every one of them will undoubtedly go back to one of these few characteristics that you end up with when you put that concentrate in water and you change the water and you get water with these changed characteristics.
One of the really charming things that I like about you, too, and your company is you send out, I think it's a monthly little newsletter. And in the newsletter, you have so many different anecdotal things that people send you that you, with their permission, I imagine, you put them in. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting to read that. I really would suggest people go to your website and try to subscribe. Is that a subscription thing, or what is that? I know I get it every month or two.
Mm-hmm. It goes to people who have purchased from us.
Oh, I
we
got
don't
it.
Do,
okay.
You know, blind mailings and just become junk mail to people. But anyone who purchases from us will receive that little newsletter for quite a long time. And if we never hear from, you know, eventually when we quit hearing from people with orders, we assume they probably don't want to hear from us, so we quit sending them. But
I
that's
see.
What it is. But we do have them on our website. You can go back several years and see every issue we ever have.
Oh, so it's on the website, the NutritionCoalition.com website?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
NutritionCoalition.com or Willard's Water, Willard's with an S at the end of it, Willard'sWater.com.
Right.
And I should say that at the moment we've been having some problems in some parts of the country, and I don't even know if it includes your area or not. It seems to be just very hard to define. It has something to do with the routing of traffic, and we've been on the web since 1997, never had this happen, and we've been told by our tech people that it'll be fixed by sometime next week. So if people have problems, you know, navigating the site, they can get to the home page but not the other pages. By sometime next week, you'll be able to. And if you have a specific question, just call us on the toll-free number listed there.
Oh, give the number.
Email
us. Give the number.
It's 800-447-4793.
Okay.
Or you can email us at the best one right now would be Willard, WTR. Just spell out WILLARD and then WTR, one word, at AOL.com.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, because I'd like people to really see that, because we understand that medical associations, they don't accept anecdotal type information. But, you know, when you get it over and over and over again from using one substance, you have to, I mean, people using their common sense will say, well, it can't hurt. Let me give it a try, you know? And they might become
exactly.
One more that's going to send an anecdotal experience in. I hear the music. We're going to take a short break. You've been listening to Hooked on Raw on NewYorkTalkRadio.net. Stay with us. Been listening to Hooked on Raw on NewYorkTalkRadio.net. My name is Rio, and my co-host today, and most
right
of the
here.
Time is Lee Criso.
And most of the time when I'm here.
And we have some special guests today, Charlie and Colleen Sunday. They are from the Nutrition Coalition, and the website is NutritionCoalition.com. They sell this wonderful, amazing, mysterious water called Willard's Water. And they have been doing that for, I think over 30 years. They have the original Willard's Water. You have to be careful where you purchase.
Beware of cheap imitations.
Yes, beware of those cheap imitations, because they might not work. And then you'll say, I heard Rio talking about that, but, that's just bunk. But you have to get the real deal, okay? And you can get it from NutritionCoalition.com, or I also offer the Willard's Water on my website. Now, they have different forms of the Willard's Water. There's one that's called a clear Willard's Water. But when I heard that the dark Willard water was so much better than the clear, I said, I'm just going to carry the dark Willard water on my website. So that's what I carry, and some other different forms of the Willard water, which I'm going to ask you now. You have incorporated that Willard water into some products like the Chinota gel. Tell us about that.
That is a combination, like you said, of the Willard's water, which a lot of people, this started out years ago, because Willard's water has a lot of tremendous uses topically. You know, like people will use it, women would spray their faces with it and their complexions would look better. People use it on their hair.
I do that.
Yeah. And people use it on burns and sunburns and, you know, acne and psoriasis and eczema. Just, you know, any kind of topical use you could think of, somebody's used it for.
Uh-huh.
And it seems to be very helpful. And so we started thinking it would be a lot easier if it was in a gel form. It wouldn't run off and it wouldn't evaporate so quick. So hence, we first came with the Aqua Gel, which is the multi-purpose gel. The Chinota Gel you mentioned is a combination of the Willard's water with some Chinese herbs that have been used together for centuries for topical relief of, you know, aches and pains.
Uh-huh.
And when you combine that with the Willard's water, which helps everything to penetrate better, it ends up being something that a lot of people will put it on something that's been very painful, and they say they feel, you know, almost startled because it works so well. And it's, you know, it's such, you know, very quick relief for a lot of people. I'm not saying it would relieve everybody's pain every time, but, you know, it's amazing the things we've heard over the years. So that's kind of the quick background on that. And Chinota is a word we made up. It's China for where the herbs come from, and Dakota where the Willard's water comes from. So
right.
It's Chinota.
Chinota, that's very clever. And you say you have the aqua gel, too. That is what?
And that's the one that a lot of people, that's the multi-purpose one. And if people are using it on things like acne and psoriasis and skin conditions, using it on your hair, a lot of women apply it under makeup and really like it that way. Burns, sunburns. There's no real reason why, just for the benefits to the skin that I've ever thought of, that you would need to use the Chinota gel. And it's the Chinota's more expensive than the aqua gel. Neither of them are real expensive, but the one costs more than the other. So I've never seen any reason why anybody should use anything but the aqua gel for skin conditions.
And are those two products the only two products that you have incorporated the Willard's water into?
No, we also have some more cosmetic type. We have a moisturizer and an overnight cream.
Oh,
and
I'll have to look into that and see if I can offer that too.
Those are great products. People love them. And just very recently, we have a bar soap for, you know, just in the shower or on the sink. And it contains only the Willard's water and olive oil and coconut oil and glycerin. It's just
that
a very natural
good.
Thing, and people love that.
I think I'm going to be adding some products onto my website.
Well, that's good.
Okay.
Well, Rio uses it to fertilize the garden. We have like a carpenter ant's nest. I thought at first I was going to pour it in their nest, but then I figured I might get giant ants.
So we poured in apple cider vinegar instead.
Don't want that.
So also the Willard's water is good for washing clothes, isn't it?
It is. Charlie, you want to explain it?
Well, for 25 plus years, I tend to do the laundry at home. We divide up duties, and I find it very easy to wash clothes. And so I, particularly if Colleen collects them and tells me what to do, well, I can do it then. And I simply put about a cup of the ounce to a gallon solution of the Willard water in the laundry tub with each load of clothes. And then I use about a third or a fourth as much of the laundry concentrate, the detergent, as the manufacturers say that you should. And there's actually a patent on Willard water for extending the life of textiles. So it's beneficial to the clothes. It helps the cleaning process. Willard water is wonderful on any kind of organic stain, like grass stain or blood stain or whatever. It's very, very good at removing those stains.
Do you put it on before you put it in the washer, or do you just put it in the washer?
If something is stained like that, I would usually take a spray bottle and soak that area pretty well with that ounce to a gallon solution, and then also throw the cup of the solution
into the
laundry tub too.
Right.
Usually, that just it comes out completely.
I just thought of a new product for you.
You thought of a new product?
For the washing. See,
okay,
what you do is you mix the Willard water with vodka, then you won't care that you have to do the laundry.
Well, they might already be doing that.
Oh,
we don't
okay.
know. So, Colleen.
You're a clever guy, Lee.
Oh, well. They say I'm witty some people, then some people think I'm half witty. Who knows? You know, one or the other.
Listen, Lee, actually, on mixing Willard water with alcoholic beverages, there's a couple things that it does. Now, I guess I never have
does
time
it make
to drink
you
myself,
drunk faster?
But my limited experience in that, what I've been told by other people, first off, you will feel the effect of the alcohol faster because your body will be picking it up faster. However, you also get rid of it faster because, of course, the alcohol is a toxin and your body wants to get rid of it, and the Willard water speeds that up.
Right.
So I suppose if we were clever marketers, we'd sell it as a hangover remedy.
There you go.
Knowledgeable people that have Willard water in the house do use it that way.
Really? Well, if I drank, I guess it would be a good remedy for me.
Yeah, that's kind of what we've always said.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have...
drink Willard's water.
If I drink alcohol, I'm asleep in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of our story.
Yes.
So
I guess because we've never gotten used to it.
So you have a story about deer eating only the, quote, treated vegetables in a large vegetable garden. Tell us about that.
Let me jump in there on that. There was a lady that had, she was a gardener in the Dakotas here, and she said the only thing wrong with the willet water, first, she and her husband had the amazing results with the vegetables that they treated with the willet water, much greater production and greater shelf life and healthier and all the rest. But she said the big negative on it is, she says that deer and the rabbits will walk through the neighbor's gardens to get to mine. And also, where if I'm doing a side-by-side comparison and I've treated some of mine with willet water and some not, they always go directly to the plants that have had the willet water used on them. And, you know, the deer and the rabbits can pick up the difference in energy or whatever it is there, but they much prefer the willet water treated vegetables.
They have their instincts, and unfortunately,
right,
humans don't have our instincts as developed as we could have them, but the animals certainly have that, so there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
I have also...
A lot of people,
Go ahead.
A lot of people with dogs tell us, and horses, that once they've given the dog or the horse Willard's water, that they will often refuse other water. They will not drink anything else.
We're going to have to test that with our own animal.
Yeah.
Pardon?
We're going to have to test it with our cat because he doesn't... I put water out. I don't know where he's getting his water, but he... Hopefully
yeah,
he not from the toilet.
He doesn't drink a lot of water.
But I'm going to put the Willard water in to see if he'll drink more water.
Yeah. And I have heard it from people about cats, but I haven't, talked to as many people about cats. But the dog thing we've heard over and over, and I know I've heard it about, from some cat owners as well.
Heard.
We always give it to our cat.
Right.
Pardon? You do give it to your cats?
Mm-hmm. And our dogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I heard also you mentioned to me in an email that chickens in a Canadian poultry operation that kept setting off alarms that go off when chickens get unusually quiet, since that means that they're likely in serious distress. I guess that means chickens are very hyper. But anyway, I hear the music. We're going to take a break. I'm going to come back with this question. You've been listening to Hooked on Raw on NewYorkTalkRadio.net. Stay with us. Welcome back. You're listening to Hooked on Raw on NewYorkTalkRadio.net. My name is Rio, and my co-host is Lee Criseau. And our charming guests today are Charlie and Colleen Sunday of the Nutrition Coalition. And their premier product is Willard's Water, which we've been talking about, the amazing and mysterious Willard's Water. We don't know how it works, but we have all seen in our experience that it does work. And just as I was going to the break, I couldn't get out my question, but I'll come back to it. It's chickens apparently are very hyper. And when chickens got the Willard water, they were so relaxed that they set off the alarms. I guess there's some kind of alarms when chickens are quiet. Tell us about that. I'm not sure about all this.
The story you're talking about was a Canadian poultry producer was testing the Willard's water on some of his chickens. This is back quite a few years ago. And he had alarm systems in his hen houses that would go off if the chickens got too quiet, because that usually indicates the chickens are in distress. It's something serious has gone wrong, because usually they're, I guess, in constant motion. Charlie's had more experience around chickens than I have. But they're very nervous creatures, and they're pecking at each other and, I guess, themselves, whatever.
You'd
and
be
if they
nervous,
get really calm,
too.
It means you,
you'd
in
be
trouble.
Nervous, too, if you're going to be chicken fricassee.
That's true. No wonder. They're probably smart. Anyway, in the hen house where they were giving the chickens the Willard's water, they kept getting false alarms. And it was simply because the chickens were calm. And, a lot of people have told us through the years that they feel calmer when they're drinking Willard's water, or they do less nervous eating, that kind of thing. And I've always thought, well, that's pretty subjective. But I've always thought, I don't think anybody looked those thousands of chickens in their eyes and said, now you're going to be calmer because we're giving you Willard's water.
Right.
But they saw it. And they were not in any distress. They were healthier than the other chickens. So I've always thought that was a really interesting result.
Well, I have an experience.
It kind of indicates that perhaps all these people who say it calms them down, you know what they're talking about.
Exactly. And why do we doubt the information that comes from inside us anyway? I mean, it has to be at least as important and valuable as the information that we get from the outside, and especially since most of the information that we get from the outside is so false, and it's sort of like PR guaranteed to try to make you buy something, or buy something that you don't need, or buy something that is not going to be useful to you, like drugs and stuff. Anyway, I have a story on the Willard Water. I had a small little round, it was actually a base of, you know, like a, I don't know what they call that. You put a plant inside of it, and it catches the water when you water your plant. What do they call that, Lee? I forget what they call that. But anyway, I had one of those, and I put some holes in it, and I made it a planter, and I planted three plants in there. And I had those three plants in like 1.5 inches of soil for years, and I would feed it like once a week or once every 2 weeks with the Willard Water. And those plants were constantly putting out new leaves, and it was just beautiful. I had that whole setup for years. And then one year we went on vacation and left our house, I guess, in the wrong, not in the wrong hands, but with people that didn't really know about plants too much. And when I came back, my plants were dead.
Lucky we didn't have goldfish.
Yes, exactly.
But I was just amazed how the Willard Water kept those three plants in 1.5 inch high container that I had them in, so vibrant and healthy. It was just, that to me just sold me on the Willard Water. I hear you have something called a fill story. Tell us about that.
Well, I'll try to make this very quick, and you really have to be an old farm boy like myself to appreciate it. But back in the farming areas of the country, like where we are, there are people that are referred to as scalpers, S-C-A-L-P-E-R-S. They go to the sale barns and buy undesirable livestock. You know, the sick, the crippled, the skinny, whatever, buy them, of course, for a very small amount of money. Take them home and try to get, try to bring them around to a healthy condition so they can eventually be sold. And if it dies, well, they're not out much money. If it does wind up being healthy, they do very well on it. And Phil's dad was one of these type of people. And so they had a lot of really miscellaneous livestock on their farm. Phil found out about Willard Water, and so he started buying it from us and started giving it to the stock. And he said that the old man, he said, would never really admit to me that it was a good thing, but he never stopped me from paying good money for this stuff. And he said one day, right at sundown, we got kind of a leg up on a board of the fence, and we're looking out across the barnyard, and the dad says to me, you know, he says, this scabby livestock that we got here sure never used to look this good. Of course, Phil all gave credit to, you know, as they were all getting the Willard Water,
right.
And so everything was looking a lot better than it had been before.
Wow! So he found the right thing to bring those animals around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think why it's so impressive, like you said, when you see it work on those plants that way, it makes you a believer in it because, you know, we are used to questioning ourselves and always wondering, well, am I imagining this? But plants and animals don't seem to be imagining things. You know, they probably don't even know you're using it.
Right, and I could never figure out 1.5 inches of soil, the same soil for years and years, you know? I mean, that's crazy. Also, I wanted to ask you about, with your last pregnancy, you said you had gestational diabetes. And
yes.
They were going to take the baby early, but that was about the time that you met Doc Willard and talked to him. So tell us about what happened then.
With my first two pregnancies, I had low blood sugar, and with the last one, I had high blood sugar. And I am told, I'm no expert, but I'm told that that can happen. If the hormones during pregnancy are going to affect blood sugar, it can go either way. Well, with the third one, and he will now be 26 in November, so this is a while ago, with that pregnancy, I had high blood sugar. And the doctor kept telling us that they would probably take the baby a month early because in that last month is when it becomes very dangerous for the baby. And they kept checking my blood sugar, and it was never going up like they thought it would. It was, you know, they knew it was high, but it never hit the kind of ranges they expected, and they didn't really understand it. Well, I was drinking clear Willard's water at the time, and I figured that's what was doing it. And we've been told through the years by a lot of people that that does seem to help kind of balance blood sugar. But just barely, maybe a day or two before my last month of that pregnancy, we met Doc Willard in person for the first time. And we'd spent the whole day with him, and about 5 o'clock that afternoon, I kind of sank into a couch they had there in their offices. And, you know, I said, I am just exhausted, and I feel like my brain's like a computer with an overload. And Doc looked at me and said, well, would you like a glass of my water? And I said, that'd be fantastic. You know, that just sounded wonderful to me. Well, I didn't know it, but the only thing he ever had mixed up at the plant for drinking was the dark water, because that's all he ever drank.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else was in big drums. And I had always told Charlie I wouldn't drink the dark because I thought it looked yucky. You know, once you mix it up for drinking, it looks like weak iced tea or weak apple juice. But, you know, I always thought, you know, I'm thinking of it as water still, you know, just like regular water.
And water's supposed to be clear, right?
Well, so Doc comes back with this glass of his water that I've told him how much I wanted. And he comes back and he presents me with this tall glass of his dark water. And I remember looking at Charlie and wondering if he was going to choke, trying not to laugh, because he knew that I'd always said I wouldn't drink the dark water. But there was really no gracious way to say to Doc, you know, yuck. So I took the dark water and drank it, and I loved it. And he then started, I said, you know, what's the difference in this? I really like this. And he said, a lot of people think it's just more refreshing. And then he said, some things everybody seems to think it's better for. And he mentioned blood sugar. So when he said that, I said, well, hey, you know, that happens to be an issue for me right now, and told him about my situation. And he said, well, I can't tell you what to do. But he said, if you were my wife, I'm sure I would be strongly suggesting you switch to the dark water. So I switched to the dark water that day, and we went back home. And I went in, you know, next first of the week for my blood sugar check, and it was doing much better. And he said, well, maybe we can wait on this a little bit. Well, we kept going a little bit and a little bit, and kept getting better and better. And then ultimately I went full term. And by the very end, I had, you know, like he said, well, your blood sugar is like a normal person's. And I don't understand this. This doesn't usually happen. And he was saying it like he was apologetic to both Charlie and I.
Like maybe he should have kept, it should have been up, or he did something wrong to make it go down.
Yeah, instead it came down, and I became, he said, like a normal person. Well, we've heard from a lot of people through the years that have told us that the Willard's water has helped their blood sugar tremendously, and we've always cautioned people, you know, everybody's different. Be sure you keep checking your blood sugar, because that's not something you want to fool around with, you know, and especially if you're on medication for it or insulin, be cautious, you know, keep checking. But we've heard that over and over, and I experienced it, and I certainly, you know, I was convinced that at least for me, clearly the dark was even better on blood sugar than the clear had been.
Do you use the dark Willard water and the aqua gel and the other, and the Chinoda gel?
We use them all, lots of it, yeah.
So you use a combination? I'm sorry,
Pardon?
You use a combination in the aqua and the Chinoda gel?
We use both of them. I use the aqua gel we use for skin conditions and insect bites and, you know,
no, I'm saying, but which Willard water do you put in there?
Oh, that's the clear is what those gels are made with.
Oh, the clear. Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
I want to thank you again for doing this part, too. I think this really cleared up a lot of things for people. The beginning part where we were talking about all the simple ingredients in Willard's water, sodium metasilicate, sulfated castor oil, calcium chloride, and magnesium sulfate, which is Epsom salts, which together amount to hardly anything. But yet, since it does change that structure of the water, there's something there, you know. There's not a very clear way of understanding of putting it into words. But I think if people will just experiment with it, and that's all we're saying, just get some, experiment with it, and see what happens. Thank you so much for being with us again, Colleen and Charlie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee, for being the co-host.
My pleasure as usual.
For all your
My
jokes.
Little tiddly humor.
Yes. And to our listeners, thank you so much for spending this time with us. We really appreciate it. And remember, until the next time, stay in tune with nature, and you'll be in tune with yourself.